It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Adam Crack Winrich of Fall Creek makes a living creatively cracking whips. That's Winrich balancing on a board while playing the harmonica and cracking two whips. He's decked out in his Green Bay Packers jersey and wearing his cheese head with pride. Winrich performs at festivals across the country, including the Bristol Renaissance Fair in Kenosha, which starts this weekend. Flames are usually involved. Winrich is a 32-time Guinness World Record holder. Some of those records include heaviest whip cracked, loudest whip crack, and most candles extinguished with a whip in 1 minute. But in recent years, he's also attracted an online audience. Across TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook, he has more than 1.3 million followers and hundreds of millions of views on his videos. Adam Crack Winrich talked to Rob Ferret last week.
I'm sure you've told the story a zillion times, but how did you get started, get interested in cracking whips?
I got into whip cracking because of the Indiana Jones movies.
Sure.
In particular, when I was 8 years old in 1989, my cousin took me to see Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think a lot of young guys, including me, thought, yeah, it'd be cool to do a whip like Indiana Jones. I never tried it. A lot of people probably forget the idea. What was it, once you tried it, that made you say, yeah, this is cool, I'm going to keep doing this?
One of the things that attracts me about whip cracking is the sound of it. There's just something enticing about the oldest man-made object in the world to break the sound barrier.
Oh, that's an interesting way to think about it. And the science of it here, the end of the whip is actually going faster than the speed of sound?
That's right. Speed of sound is about 768 miles per hour, but the end of a whip goes over 1,000 miles per hour, breaking the sound barrier.
Incredible. Now, that might remind people that this can be dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. How was it for you as a kid doing this? How did you figure out how to do it safely and not hurt yourself?
I'd say luckily as a kid, the first whip that I had was a lightweight rope whip that my dad had made for me. So that helped keep the injuries to a minimum. I mean, also, I wasn't luckily also doing anything super crazy that would where I'd hurt myself with a whip.
Now, a lot of kids might ask their folks, can I have a whip? And the answer is going to be no. Your answer was, yeah, I'll make you one. Sounds like you had some family support when you first got into this.
I certainly did. Yeah, both of my parents were very supportive when I got into this particular hobby at a young age. My dad made me a whip, but then also later I wanted to make my own whip, so my dad would drive me to the Mason Shoe Company in Chippewa Falls, where they manufactured boots, and they had a back room that would sell their secondary grade cowhides that they couldn't use for boots. So he'd drive me up there as a kid. I would buy them, and I'd take a little razor blade and cut them into strands and braid them into whips.
Okay, now you didn't have YouTube and instructional videos. In that era, how did you learn as a kid how to make your own whips?
So first, my dad taught me how to do a basic three-strand flat braid. My dad was also in the Boy Scouts.
Okay.
So he learned some of those skills through the Boy Scouts, like how to tie a basic Turk's head and how to do a basic braid. So he taught me that. So I used that to make my first whip. Then he got me a copy of the Boy Scout Leatherworking Merit Badge Handbook, where I learned how to do a four-strand round braid, which took me a while to get down. And then there were some other books we bought. Mainly when I was younger, the application was, one, I wanted a better whip for myself. So that kept me going, trying to make newer whips over and over again, trying to improve myself as a whip maker. But then I also started selling them right away. I sold my first whip in the winter of 1992. So I wasn't very old at the time. And then that was a nice source for spending
money. 11 years
old?
Do I have that math right?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
Now, at some point, you turned from this is a hobby, I'm doing whip cracking, I'm making my own. You started performing at some point. When did you first figure out, hey, this is something I could do in front of people and they're going to enjoy seeing this?
Whips as a performance piece, I first figured that out, I guess, when I went to did my first Renaissance Festival in 2006 in Chippewa Falls. The Renaissance Fair is not open anymore, but I'd been working on my whip cracking skills. I'd actually, after college, I decided to make whips full time for a couple years, and then I was practicing my whip cracking in the evening. And I also did some community theater. So the community theater people said, hey, you got to go to the Renaissance Fair and put on a whip show. So I didn't know anything about doing whip shows at Renaissance Fairs or how long of a history Renaissance Festivals had at that time. But I started there, and other people saw my skill set and said, oh, if you like this, there are other Renaissance fairs you can go to perform at.
I haven't seen you in person perform. I've watched some of your videos, and you are a showman. You're not just, you know, cracking whips. You have some theater background, it looks like. How do you turn this into a performance?
Oh, let's see. Ways to turn whip cracking into a performance. One of the first things I did was, when I started that Renaissance fair, was to see how long could I do the trick for with someone walking by before they just start walking away without actively engaging them, without saying something like getting their name or telling them a joke or doing something like engaging, just a trick, see how long it would last. And it was a very short period of time, like 5-10 seconds. They'd look, oh, that guy's cracking a whip, and then they would walk away.
Uh-huh.
So otherwise, but to turn it into a performance, oh, let's see, what was all the steps that I did? I mean, I always liked telling jokes. And really, the first thing where I studied live performance would have been through playing the harmonica. My grandma played harmonica, and then I started taking it seriously when I was 15. So I studied what other harmonica players would do, such as I even studied West Side Andy Linderman, who's a famous harmonica player from the Madison
from
area.
Madison, sure.
And so that was my first interest in performing. And then it was up to me to kind of figure out, okay, now everything that I studied with performing harmonica, take that interest in performing and figure out how to make it work with whips. So some of the basic things that other performers would tell me at performing at Renaissance festivals, how to organize your tricks, the classic BCA format, do your B trick first, and then do your C trick, and then do your A trick, your very best trick at the end. Or another classic format, basically three parts. First part of the show, you do your tricks so the audience knows why you are the one that they are watching. Then the middle part is a good audience volunteer bit to get audience volunteer involved. Then the last part, light something on fire.
And you do light something on fire. You've got flaming whip tricks. If it's not a trade secret, how do you integrate the fire into the whip?
Fire whip is made out of Kevlar, and you soak it in a metal paint can filled with Coleman camp fuel. And the Kevlar is absorbent, so it'll soak up the fuel, and then you light it on fire. And then when you first crack it, a bunch of the extra fuel will spray off and aerate, and that aerated sort of spray cloud of fuel will then ignite and make a fireball.
Don't try this at home, kids. What kind of practice went into this to make sure you had the right amount of flame to where it was visible flame, but it wasn't, I don't know, shooting into your Renaissance Fair audience?
The problem with, figuring out, it's very bad, does the fire go into the audience? Most of the whips, fire whips I've used, that was never a problem. They didn't spray the flame that far. There was only a brand of fire whips from New Zealand where they would make their whips out of rope that it was very spongy and would hold, like, too much fuel. And there I could see fuel globs flaming, spraying, like, 50 feet. So I just knew, don't use that type of whip right next to an audience, like use it in an open arena or something.
Fair. All right. We're talking to Adam Crack Winrich of Fall Creek. He cracks whips performing at festivals across the United States, including this summer's Bristol Renaissance Festival in Kenosha. He is a 32-time Guinness World Record holder. His online videos have hundreds of millions of views. I want to get into the how-to of whip cracking. You have a video, a great one, on common mistakes on whip cracking. And my thought would be, okay, this is a lot of muscle work. I'm really, like, having to fling this thing hard. That, I was wrong right there. That's the one of the first most common mistakes that aspiring whip crackers make. What's wrong with that? How do you do it right?
If you have a good whip, it should crack pretty easily on its own. Think of it more like a splitting maul where you would let the maul do the work to go through the piece of wood. So if it's a good whip, you can really let the whip do the work. A lot of the basic whip cracks are just about swinging the whip up into the air or around your head with just enough energy to get the whip all the way straight out in the air. And then you just have to reverse the direction at the right time with only the same amount of force you use to get the whole thing swung up in the air. And then you bring it down, reverse the direction, and the whip will crack.
So kind of figuring out how to let the whip do the work for you.
Let the whip do the work.
Interesting. Okay, now a little advanced whip cracking. You do a lot of videos where you've got two whips.
That's right.
What goes into making sure you're not crossing the paths and getting your whips tangled up?
One of the real tricks, I would say, to not having your whips get tangled is what's on the very end of the whip. So what actually breaks a sound barrier is called a popper, snapper, or a cracker. And there are different materials you can use for that. A very common material is nylon thread. But nylon thread actually tangles very easily and ties itself in knots for some reason. So what I put on the ends of my whips is polypropylene baling twine. It's a little bit stiffer. It's very commonly used in Australia, where I've learned a lot of my whip cracking tricks. So part of the trick is just having something on the end that's a little bit stiffer and less likely to tie itself in knots and tangle on the other whip.
Now, getting back to your performances, there's whips, there's the patter with the audience, there's the fire, and the harmonica, and you've also got other feats of dexterity. There's some lassoing, unicycling, you've got like a weird balance thing. Tell us a little more about what goes into your full show.
The full show, I usually like to tell people in the show I will light a whip on fire, but I will also hog tie a child and whip some toilet paper from out of a guy's butt. And the lassoing a kid, that's actually a very old lasso spinning trick that was done all the way in the old days of vaudeville, where you throw a lasso around someone's waist and they're able to throw half hitches like around their hands and feet and tie them all up and then they escape from the rope. So that's a classic trick that I've added to my show. Playing the harmonica doesn't really seem to fit into a Renaissance Festival show, but sure. What I've found over the years is that it's okay for them because it's an acoustic instrument. It's not like I'm out there trying to shred with an electric guitar doing Jimi Hendrix guitar, because it's an acoustic instrument along the lines of an accordion, which does have a history at Renaissance festivals. People seem to be okay with it. So the harmonica, I do a little bit of juggling. The unicycle, you did that in my shows a little bit after the pandemic, because I mainly practiced unicycle during the pandemic. But most people come to see the whip cracking, so I found the unicycle is kind of too much work to make it a regular part of my show.
Fair. Okay. Now, you started this obviously well before the internet and the social media era. You've had some success there. Is it more fun, though, to have that live audience there?
Yes. It's a lot more rewarding to have the live audience. I definitely found during the pandemic, when my main performance outlet was filming videos and posting them online, that it sort of felt like a meal that only half nourished you. If that makes sense.
Makes total sense.
Like the feedback you get from a live audience is very rewarding. And then getting views and comments is a shadow of that.
Yeah. You don't hear oohs and ahs over the internet.
That's right.
You have also broken dozens of world records. How do you seek out records to break? How do you prepare for that?
Well, there are more and more Guinness records and whip-related records as the years have gone on. So when I started, there were only three records for whip cracking with Guinness World Records, longest whip crack, most bull whip cracks in a minute, and most Australian stock whip cracks in a minute. And at one point, I held all three of those. So at one point, I held all the records for whip cracking that Guinness had. And then they continued to add categories. And now to find records, sometimes I can suggest categories to Guinness, mm-hmm. and then other times there are pre-existing categories that someone has set, and then I felt like I could beat that. So the most recent record was most whip cracks in a minute while balanced on a unicycle, and that's something I suggested to Guinness that should be a record, because there is an existing record for most whip cracks in a minute while balanced on a slack line. So it made sense that there's lots of other records for unicycle, that there should be a similar record for whip cracking on a unicycle.
And you've also got, I believe, heaviest whip cracked?
Yeah, that's the record for heaviest whip cracked. I've done it twice. And I actually did the record here in Madison, because Guinness required you to have an official body weigh the whip, and that had to be part of the documentation. So I did some research and realized that I could come to the Department of Weights and Measures here in Madison.
Sure.
And they have a scale big enough, and they have the certifications to weigh it.
I got to imagine that this is maybe the first time they've weighed a whip at our Department of Weights and Measures.
Yeah, I think it was. Like I said, we did it twice in 2021 and 2022. The first record was 27 pounds, and then the second record was about 46 pounds. And they just seemed tickled to be a part of the project, something that they don't usually do.
46. So I'm thinking like a 50-pound bag of my water softener salt, but it's in one hand, and you're trying to lift it into the air and crack it. What's your approach? How do you make that happen?
Well, I actually was able to use two hands.
Okay.
So first, a little bit about how the whip is built. So I had help with my dad to build the whip. He's did blacksmithing as a hobby in retirement, so he has a big pile of scrap metal. So we found a steel axle and then a basically logging chain, and then welded those two together, and then I built the rest of the whip around it. I covered the handle, and I put a whip end onto the chain. So that was the first one, was 27 pounds. And then we wanted to do it again. Then we just picked a heavier rod and a slightly heavier chain. So most of the weight, or at least half the weight or more, is in the handle. So it's going to be about 5 feet long. And then some of the weight is obviously in the chain. In the 46-pound one, the chain was 10 feet long. But then you can put two hands on a handle that long.
Okay.
And then I just swing the whip around my head and then a couple times and then pull it back really hard.
And that gets the crack.
That gets the crack.
Adam, as we wrap up, is there a new trick, a new stunt you're looking to perform in the next year or two that maybe you have in the works?
Something in the works? Not really. I found as I've gotten older, because I'm about to turn 45, that there's a lot of tricks that I just want to learn that have been around for years that I continue to want to learn. I think of it as in the second Karate Kid movie, one of the Japanese guys had a huge piece of driftwood down on the beach that he would go and try to chop in half every day. So some of the tricks I'm working on, like a trick called Daniel's Chaser, where it's a very difficult trick called the Hassett's Four Corners, and you do it in a syncopated pattern with both hands over your head. It takes a lot of wrist strength. And that's just something the last several years I would go out every day and kind of that's my piece of driftwood that I'm trying to chop in half.
Adam, thanks so much for sharing this with us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
That is professional whipcracker Adam Crack Winrich from Fall Creek talking with host Rob Ferret. He's a 32-time Guinness World Record holder and he posts videos online for hundreds of millions of viewers. Winrich performs at festivals across the United States, including the Bristol Renaissance Fair in Kenosha, which starts this weekend.